We've got an interesting interview here with, just kind of shift gears. Let me shift gears. Shiri Sapir. She's the chairwoman for the Education Advocates Coalition for Carrie Lake, who's running for Arizona governor. And just for the record, Shiri Sapir is just going to be joining me here for about a 30-minute segment. And in no way does she endorse everything I just said up to this point, just to be clear. Those are my own words. That's my own satire. And I'm not running for office, so you know I don't really care what people think. But Carrie Lake is running for governor of Arizona, and I'm sure she has very strong opinions on what's going on the border. And Shiri Sapir is trying to stop the sexualization of children in our schools. And so I invited Shiri on to ask her questions about grooming and the indoctrination in our school system, and how is it that teachers and school counselors and bureaucrats can turn into these twisted kind of predators who seem to be targeting children and teaching them bizarre things at very young ages all across our country. So let's just go right to that interview, and then I'll have a few thoughts on the other side of that. But this should be interesting. Here we go. Welcome, folks, to this fascinating interview. We have joining us tonight Shiri Sapir. She is with Arizona governor candidate Carrie Lake. She's the chairwoman for the Education Advocates Coalition for Carrie Lake, who we hope will be the new governor of Arizona. And she certainly deserves your support, by the way. Well, Shiri Sapir, and her website is Sapir, SAPIRAZ.com, SapirAZ.com. Shiri Sapir she's been sounding the alarm on the over-sexualization of children in public schools. And she has new tools on her website we're going to talk about today, with some outrageous examples of the kind of assignments and book reading lessons that children are being subjected to in public schools that would just shock parents if they knew the truth. So, Shiri, thank you for joining me this evening. It's a great pleasure to have you on. I think your work is extremely important. Just thank you. I look forward to speaking with you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, first, I already mentioned you're the chairwoman for the Education Advocates Coalition for Carrie Lake. Can you first, just as background, can you give us just a little overview? What is this coalition? Why does Carrie Lake just honestly care about these issues in public schools? I mean, why is this even on her radar? And what do you hope to do once Carrie Lake becomes governor?
On a national level, we know that just like in Georgia, the governorship was won over education. Once parents heard that somebody actually thought they are not part of the equation, they rise up. And I think since then, it really kind of set the tone in politics around the nation that education is something that people expect to hear about and expect their elected officials to be worried about and do something about. And Carrie Lake is intuitive enough. And actually she cares. She is a mama bear herself, and she cares about what's going on. And she understands that winning the governorship and to get the rally, the mama bears, independent and Democrat mama bears as well, you need to speak about the issues and not try to pretend that everything is wonderful when our kids are failing on every level and by every measure, not only test scores, but socially and in other ways. So I think that was a very smart thing for her to kind of jump the gun on and make sure that people understand that she has her heart into it, and she'll base her policies on the stakeholders, perspective and needs, and not just a special interest. She's an outsider. It's not about special interest anymore.
Are you finding that when parents first learn about what their children are being subjected to, is there a level of shock or surprise? I mean, are parents surprisingly unaware of what their children are being exposed to?
Sadly, we do find that many are unaware. A lot of them, we are living in a society that has been desensitized a little bit. So what you or your parents would have found completely shocking 10 or 20 years ago, we're almost expecting right now to see. I don't know if you just saw the teacher in Canada. Did you see that?
Are you talking about the video. One with the enormous prosthetic boobs?
Right. So I was just talking to my friend Shannon just before I got on the show. And when you think about this, I mean, can you imagine a classroom in your school when you were young where a teacher, not to mention that's a male and these are fake, but a teacher would walk in to the school looking like this? I mean, it's just not.
No, they would have been fired immediately.
They would have never been hired. So to me, for us to be able to see these things, not just it's not a singular, you know, incident. That means to me that we've unfortunately went through a process of I don't know if it's just to desensitize us. It's also kind of condition us to be quiet and non-judgmental and inclusive. And that process have gotten us to a place where we have these people roaming around our schools right now in front of our children, where they should be probably in a mental institute of some sort. So, so parents are aware, but again, with the political correctness that we have in our society, I think they're not as up in arms as I would expect. I would expect everyone to see that video, for instance, and be shocked to the core and call for a resignation. But you don't see that, you know, you don't hear that as much. And it's really tragic because our kids are the victims of all this.
Well, let me ask you more details about the root of the problem here or the nature of the problem. So when you say the sexualization of children in schools, are you talking about simply on one hand, younger and younger children being exposed to school material that describes, for example, sexual intercourse behaviors or things like that, or younger and younger children being exposed to, I mean, I've even seen news articles of fifth graders being taught about anal sex and things like that. Or are you also talking about now we have this whole grooming kind of layer or this push for children to be encouraged to declare themselves to be a different gender than their biological sex. Is that part of it too, or is it both of these things?
I think it's both. I mean, there's two layers. The for them to be able to sexualize and groom our kids, they had to have some method that we're going to be not as inclined to reject. And that was the LGBTQ. Once they came out and said, well, this is about the LGBTQ children and we have to be supportive about them, then they kind of softened our rejection to this Trojan horse that they're bringing into our schools with the LGBTQ community. If it was a heterosexual, you know, woman coming in with what that teacher came in with this rack, you know, in front of these children, you would have been up in arms just as well. But when it's LGBTQ, you can't because it's not, you know, it's not inclusive. So I think this is just their way to sexualize our kids. I mean, some of the things that I'm really concerned about is the pronouns and the gender identity confusion that, you know, the UCLA just came out with a study that 25% of the children in California don't identify with the gender that they were born in.
Wow.
To me, you know, it's not genetic. It's not physiological. It's
learned. Taught. Yeah, exactly. So, and obviously schools have a pivotal role in this, but we see more and more public schools we see the teachers and the counselors and other administrators often, they are the ones pushing this. And many of us have seen, for example, libs of TikTok videos where you have school teachers bragging about doing extreme, seemingly insane things like turning their classroom into a pole dancing rave party during school hours. And like, what? You know, how is this possible? How is this happening in America?
It's the demoralization that this country is going through. If people don't understand, and putting politics aside, if people don't understand that something is going really wrong in this country right now, and in the Western world, I really don't think America is the only one. It's everywhere, but America is kind of the leader and the rest of them follow. Something is really, and it's only in the Western world. You're not going to see it in China. You're not going to see it in India, right? You're going to see it in in the developed countries that really are now going back to the dark days. And the children are the objective. They are coming after our children, number one, because that's the only way for them to be able to control their minds is when you demoralize somebody and you soften them so much and you create a confusion and sense of insecurity, you can control them. And so that's what they want to do. And I do believe, and I don't care if somebody is going to like what I'm going to say or not, I really do believe a lot of people that are pedophiles, that are just immoral, want to come after our young children.
And the reason
I know that is because you don't see enough arrests. You don't see enough of these pedophilia rings being caught. You see Disney putting out all of this stuff. How is this all acceptable in this society? Somebody wants this.
So this brings up one of the obvious questions then, if Carrie Lake becomes governor, and then if you have some influence over her understanding of what's going on, what would you propose as, you know, solutions to this? What is there a new framework? Does there need to be punishment for certain types of pedophile type or grooming type of behavior by teachers or counselors? Or, you know, how do you restore sanity and protect children in our schools?
Well, I think there is going to be a few things that are going to have to happen at once for this to be effective. Number one, we have to keep pushing for complete school choice and educational freedom. We have to create the competition because that's the first step to get them to even try to change their ways if they want to keep the money. The money follows the child. Well, they're going to have to make sure the parents want their children in these schools. And, you know, public schools lost 1.2 million children in enrollment since COVID. Think they're going to have some self-reflection by now and ask themselves, well, what are we doing wrong? But they don't yet, because in most states, there is no school choice. You're forced to go to the zip code that you're in. Arizona is leading the nation. We do have a challenge here in a few days. We passed the biggest expansion of school choice, and the Democrats are trying to stop that from happening. But getting it on the ballot, they have until the 24th of this month to gather the signatures to put it on the ballot. We all pray they don't. It seems like they don't have it yet, so that would be good. It's a few more days away. And if they don't stop it, then we're going to have the most expensive school choice option in the nation. That will get some attention. It has to.
I mean, and is that where the money would follow the child, as you said?
Yes, 100%. So our children are going to, every parent is going to be able to get universally, it's called empowerment scholarship accounts. And they're going to take their $7,000 or whatever it is and take it to wherever they want.
I love that idea because it's a meritocracy-based system. It's a free market type of system. It forces schools to compete for the approval of the parents. And it also puts parents in the position of being, shopping around for the best education, for the voucher or the credit or whatever it is that they have from the government, correct?
Exactly. I mean, think about this. When you're going to choose a doctor, you don't want to just get any doctor. You want to choose the best doctor because that might be a life or death issue for you. You want to be able to get through that surgery. How can they tell us parents that we're going to just send our kids day in and day out to these indoctrination camps, to these failing institutions? I mean, it would have been one thing if you indoctrinate my kid, but he ends up being a genius. But they're not even able to read. 62% of the children in Arizona cannot read a grade level in third grade. What are they doing with them for 4 years from kindergarten? Clearly not teaching them to read.
Wait a second. That statistic, 62% by the third grade cannot read at all? Or what are you saying?
At grade level, which, you know.
They cannot read at the third grade level?
Yes.
When they're in the third grade. Oh, okay. Well, yes, yeah, that's pretty shocking.
Yes, it's terrible. Math too. We're at 62 or 65% failing. So, and this is when the tests are not that rigorous from the beginning. So our children are not learning. If you look at America as a nation, there's some great books that your audience should look into: the Dumbing Us Down and the Race to the Bottom. There's a lot of these books that really tell the story of what's been going on in this country since the 60s, specifically to really change the ability of the Americans to even, you know, think critically. And this wasn't overnight. And this wasn't just because COVID. People think, you know, COVID is the trigger. No, COVID was just a symptom, just amplified because we were able to watch and see. But the dumbing down of the American people has been going on for a long time. Common Core and all the legislation really that came from DC, manipulating education, which is not constitutional. We all know that. I mean, Congress is not supposed to be funding with conditions the state. That goes against the spending clause in the Constitution. Yet now Biden tells us that he's going to interpret Title IX, which is, you know, not discriminating against sex in schools. And now he says, well, to me, that also means you cannot discriminate against gender identity and sexual orientation. And by the way, schools, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to withhold your school lunches.
Mm-hmm. It's like starving students in order to push the LGBT agenda.
Yes. And most schools around the nation will comply because they can't afford their Title I schools. They can't afford not get the money and not feed their children. So who does that anyways? What kind of a moral, you know, person does that? But here we are living in a time that it's done by the government. So the education was never to be monopolized by DC. It's not constitutional. And the states, it's a state issue, and the states need to take back education as soon as possible. And I think Arizona, especially with Carrie Lake, and what we're going to try to do, we're going to do just that. And I would tell her, if she listens to my advice, wherever we can avoid taking federal money, we should. Because everything right now is about equity, diversity, inclusion, LGBTQ rights. It completely takes away the rights of our girls. I've spoken to so many little girls around the state who say we don't go to the restroom anymore because we feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's going to a public school these days as a student. It seems like a very frightening place because there are predators and the teachers are in some cases predators. Now, by contrast, when I went to public school, I went through the public school system. I mean, we knew that, okay, here's this teacher wants you to go to Bible study after school. And this other teacher wants you to join the math club. And this other teacher is a coach is going to try to get you to run on the track team or whatever. We knew those things, but we never had a teacher who's like, I want you to be a girl. Or, you know, this teacher wants you to mutilate your genitalia. But that's what they face now. That is insane. Schools should be the most protected place for children to go and actually learn and not be pressured or recruited or shamed into denying, their womanhood or their girlness or however you want to call it. Just being a female, for example, is unsafe now.
It is. And it's not something that's being cherished either for them. You know, I just talked to my friend the other day. She's just, you know, she works for a corporate and they had to go through training for sexual harassment. And you know what? One of the examples they had was a Black male who's pregnant. And they talked to them about how they need to be very delicate about how they're treating him, her, whatever.
Pregnant men.
Whatever that is. The pregnant Black men. You know, and there was the whole training about that. I mean, these are serious corporations that put their employees through this kind of training. I mean, it's just shocking to me that it's even happening, but it's happening. We're losing our minds, Mike. We really are.
Well, but are you seeing on the positive side of this, are you seeing more engagement now from parents because there's growing awareness that this is happening?
I do see more engagement. I do see a lot more people running for school boards. I do see a lot of school boards being flipped around the country. The problem is a lot of parents forget pretty quickly. They fall into the convenience of just dropping their kids off and drive off to work and to life that's busy. And everybody's life is really difficult to these days. So I understand that. But I don't feel if I'm comparing the energy that we had 2 years ago when we were all up in arms with the closures and fighting and knocking, you know, and getting arrested in the school board meetings for the masks. And, you know, you remember that there was a lot of that going on.
Yes.
It subsided a little bit. And I'm afraid that people get complacent with time and forget. And that's the purpose of the coalition, to keep putting this evidence out there and the proof of what's going on and tell people, hey, this is what's happening. Don't let down. Don't put your guard down. We can't, our kids can't afford it. And with giving them better options, so better options can be in the way of school choice, better options can be in education, better options can be in joining with the Attorney General office, the Attorney General's office, and make sure that we start seeing some prosecutions for these educators that are coming after our kids. And I think that's going to really grab the attention of the public once again and get them more engaged, and to be a resource of good versus bad. So there is good curriculum out there. There's great textbooks out there. There's good standards out there around the nation for math, for civics. All Arizona needs to do is not to reinvent the wheel. We just need to bring the best of the best, just like you would in every business, right? And this is a big business. Education is big business. Let's bring the best there is out there and not reinvent anything. Bring it and make sure that that's the standard for the state. You can't force everything. You can't force the public schools to teach a certain curriculum, but we can post it and make parents aware of what's available and tell them, go and demand that from the schools. And I think we can make a difference just by being the good example versus the dictator that tells everybody what to do. That's not what we want to do.
Well, but right. But speaking of the dictator, you know, it's the DOJ and Merrick Garland, I believe, who has denounced parents for daring to challenge school boards across the country. I think they've, the DOJ has used the label of extremists and tried to imply that parents were terrorists if they started to ask questions. Well, you know, it's a bizarre narrative to say that if you're a mom or a dad and you want to know what your child is being taught, or you want to question something that seems absurd, then you are painted as a danger to society. And the school boards and the school unions, the teachers unions, and of course the Democrats seem to be all in favor of squelching parents and just saying, we own your children. You know, we've captured your children. We're going to indoctrinate them and you don't have a right to question anything. Isn't that essentially their message?
But think about what you just said, Mike. Again, think about the 1950s and 1960s in America. If any of these people at the time were told, you're a domestic terrorist by the government, think about that. I mean, it's not possible that it would have happened, right? We are hearing this now, and it's not that we're okay with it, but we've accepted it in a sense. And that is what I'm so worried about. And the reason that we're accepting it is, number one, we have large percentage of the people in this country that have been indoctrinated, that think that's true. They think that, you know, if the US government tells you that you're a domestic terrorist, you probably are, which is one problem. You have the teachers unions and all these educators that are really, they really do believe that they own your children. I mean, they'll tell you that flat out to your face, which again, I don't think in previous, you know, generations, it would have even been an option. So what are we to do? That's why everything that we're doing right now is a response, a quick response to what we're going through right now. But I really do think that it's a bigger picture that we need to think about in this country and have leaders that see long-term and understand that the decades that brought us to today, it will take decades to eradicate, right? This systematic decay of morality and standards of conduct. So
even if we start now, we're going to have a whole generation of damaged children who were indoctrinated under this system and were told lies and manipulated, exploited, emotionally manipulated. It's almost as if they've been in a prison camp and they've been subjected to psychological torture techniques this entire time. At least that's how I would put it.
Not almost. It's exactly. Brainwashing is a very effective method of achieving whatever it is you want the subject to think or feel. And that is why when we have the social emotional learning right now, this is the new critical race theory. I mean, I call critical race theory so 2020, because the social emotional learning, and we actually passed it as a law last year with the Republican majority because they didn't understand what they approved. Social emotional learning is really the method that and the tool to bring in the intersectionality, the critical race theory, the equity, the Marxist ideas, and they're doing it through emotion. They provoke emotion in our kids. They tell them that they can adjudicate every conflict through emotion. That's why we have the restorative justice right now in our schools. You don't, you know, suspend the child for throwing a chair on the teacher anymore. You sit down and you talk to them. You know, and in some extreme cases, maybe the chair was at fault for aggravating you.
Uh-huh.
I know it sounds like a stretch, but this is where we are at. So restorative justice and all these other things are now part of the lens by which the education system is looking at discipline. And it is extremely dangerous for our kids. And that goes along with the trophies for all, right? And all of this, it's all emotion. It's all about how you feel. And it's a dangerous place for us to be, because once you feel all the time, you don't think. And that's not what we want. We want critical thinkers.
Well, it's the abandonment of reason. And of course, reason must be the pillar of a sustainable or a civil society. But you, on your website, sapiraz.com, I understand you have a tool where parents can upload examples of assignments or books, assignments given to their children that they think might be strange. Can you give us some examples? I understand people have been using that tool already. What are some examples, Shiri, of what you've seen so far that would, you know, be astonishing to our audience?
Oh man, I wish I could, you know, open camera and show it to your people. But some of the books, I mean, you have illustration of gay sex, you know, literally gay sex, and it's all illustrated. It's animated.
But wait, at what grade or
a lot of these are in elementary school, definitely in high school. I mean, gender queer. A memoir, it's a book that we've seen around the nation. And a lot of them are in the libraries for sure. I encourage people to go to the library and look at some of the books that they have right now. Some of the children museums, we just put on notice Tucson Children Museum, because they put out an event October 8th to have, you know, and they do it often now, the drag queen story time, right? And so we had some people visit the museum, and in areas where the kids are playing, and these are young kids, 5, 6, 7, 8, they would have books just, you know, on different shelves kind of open. And these are all books that have to do with transgenderism and you know, racist baby and all of these other things. And so It's very prevalent everywhere that you would go if you would just open your eyes. A lot of the questionnaires. Now, we have laws in Arizona where you cannot survey a child without the consent of a parent. Again, a lot of these statutes are being violated all the time. I have dozens of examples of surveys from teachers, even our teachers, that ask for the pronouns, that ask, what name do I call you in front of your parent? What name do I call you in front of your peers? You know, so they also create that wedge between children and parents and make it okay to hide, you know, parts of your life from your parents, which again, it's against the law. In Arizona, we have the Parents Bill of Rights. You cannot, you cannot tell a child to hide anything from their parents. Actually, that's against law, and or encourage them to hide something. And they do. I mean, if you see this service, and that's why we just launched this page today, in the next couple of weeks, I encourage people to go on there and you'll see the surveys from Mesa, from Peoria, from Glendale, from Phoenix. It's everywhere. We have pictures from classrooms with you know, Biden signs and Obama signs and Planned Parenthood and Che Rivera and the CCP. I mean, we have those pictures. Everything is documented. Parents have been doing a lot of great work documenting, but they don't know what to do with it because everywhere they try to put it out, nobody cares, right? Our job is going to be to make sure that people are well aware. And that's why I'm calling it making the case, because I do believe that if we have enough evidence that's out there to show people, hey, this is really going on, we're going to wake people up once and for all. And hopefully if we have the right leaders in place after November, we're going to see some prosecutions because it's time. We have, it's just, it's our kids, Mike. They're innocent. And once you rob a child of their innocence, there is no going back.
Yeah, exactly. But even though public schools are serving as these kind of indoctrination factories for children, I've also noticed, this is my last question to you because we're almost out of time, but I've noticed that adults who are about to become teachers, let's say, and they go into a school system beginning as a normal person, and then 3 years as a teacher, they are also transformed into this woke creature. Something's happening to the teachers as well, and the counselors and the administrators. Do you have any idea? Well, is it some kind of like, is it a cult system that spreads, or what's going on in these schools?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to put out this week of the National School Psychologist Association. If you look into them and if you see their newsletter, and I have a lot of psychologists from around the state sending me stuff because they want me to know. It's all propaganda. It's all indoctrination. Their training is indoctrination for the psychologists. The things that they're telling them to do, it's just, I mean, we don't have time today for me to read you from the latest letter that they just sent out. So yes, the problem with all these teachers and school psychologists, they're all going through professional development, mostly on a weekly basis. You know, most schools in Arizona close at 12 o'clock on Wednesdays, and the teachers go to, some sort of a professional development every week.
So that's indoctrination for the teachers and counselors then.
100%. And actually the teacher colleges, if you look at their curriculum, and I have that as well, that's what we're going to be putting. I have so much of these things from running my campaign that I have all these things that I want to put out. They have their option of, if you want to write about critical race theory and about 1619 Project, this is your two options if you want to get your, if you want to complete your course.
Wow.
When you're becoming a teacher. So they stand up, they have no choice.
Wow.
And that's where the indoctrination begins. It's from the academia to the teachers' colleges, to the professional development that's weekly, monthly, or whatever, the school psychologist, the school board association, that's the National School Board Association that called us domestic terrorists with the U.S. Attorney General. So
that's right. That's right. Just, and that was in conjunction with the White House, I believe, that effort. Well, I'm really glad that you are voicing out all of this. Parents need to be aware. We've got to get the right governors in place, obviously, and the right AGs as well. Carrie Lake is the obvious candidate, the obvious choice for governor of Arizona. She's courageous. She's strong. She's informed. She's intelligent. She doesn't back down. She's not a pushover. I mean, from what I've seen, everybody loves Carrie Lake. I think she's going to win. What do you think?
Oh, I can't even imagine a scenario where she doesn't win. Her opponent is going to be the destruction of Arizona as we know it. It's going to be this is a person, her opponent talks about, reproductive freedom as the most important thing on Arizonans' mind. This is what these people talk about. This is what they worry about, abortions to kill children. That's all they care about.
Yeah.
They don't care about us. They don't care about the people. Carrie Lake has to win. We have to do everything we can to get her to that office. And I think she has the potential to be the best governor in this nation with the heart that she has and her intentions and the people she's going to put around her. So I'm praying for Arizona.
Well, I would just say, make sure you have plenty of ballot watchers in Pima County.
I know. Trust me, I know. We will still Pinal County. We so many people didn't even vote that day. And we're disenfranchised. And we still sealed the election as if it was done. Thousands of people never were able to get because there were no ballots for them. So, yeah.
Well, there is a ballot mule operation in Arizona that is quite elaborate, just like there is in Texas and Wisconsin and Michigan and so on. So, but I know you're connected with people who are on top of this, but just roll all the video cameras, watch everything, record everything, because they're going to try to steal it. That's the only way they can win from here forward is by stealing it. And we got to take back Arizona for the people, I tell you.
I agree 100%. And for the kids, it's all about the children.
Yep, absolutely. That's who's going to lead the state for the next generation. Well, Shiri, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for spending this time with us, and feel free to keep us posted. We'll cover, other breaking news as well, if you'll send it my way. And God bless you. God bless Arizona. God bless America. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Take care.